God. The world is full of promises. Promises from politicians, promises from preachers. And it's full of promise breakers as well as promise keepers. One of the consequences of this truth is that there are a lot of cynics. In fact, there are more than enough cynics to go around. Cynicism and Catholicism do not go well together. Our faith, resting on the kind of hope that these readings put before us today, makes no room for the cynic. Cynicism is an enemy of hope. The cynic always refuses hope, saying things like, "Oh, things will never change," or "It's no good," or "It's always been that way and always will be." This kind of thinking comes easily, requiring nothing from us, no trust, no effort, and certainly no love. I think that one of the reasons John the Baptist was such a hit in his day, attracting so much attention and so many people, from common folks to those in power that we heard about today, is that he stirred up hope. He took people to a place called hope. All of us spend a lot of our lives waiting and hoping for a lot of things. It's impossible to live completely without hope, which is why I think so many people take their own lives, because they don't have any hope. Hope is important for our souls, as important as bread is for life. And hope is the mark of a true believer. It's a virtue that, like any other virtue, must be strengthened and practiced by action. For us who follow the way of Christ, hope never means just sitting back and waiting for things to happen. Believers make a difference in life. And so we believe that our efforts are worthwhile. We work hard with the gifts that we have in the confident hope that something will come of our efforts. The great poet and thinker and playwright, Václav Havel, stirred the dreams of the Czech people after the fall of communism. He once said, "I am neither an optimist nor a pessimist. I carry hope in my heart. Hope is not a feeling of certainty that all ends well. Hope is just a feeling that life and work have meaning." He understood that hope's not the same thing as optimism. Optimism is that expectation that things will get better no matter what. For us, hope is the trust that God will fulfill God's promises in God's own time. People of hope live in the present moment with the knowledge and trust that all is in God's hands. And this kind of trust is the consequence of hope for those who believe. This world we live in is suffering from so many broken promises, and disappointed by so many promise breakers. And so it longs for this season of Advent, this season that offers us hope. Great leaders are people of hope, and they don't need to know what the future will look like. They simply do what is right in the present, trusting that God will take care of the future. It's enough to know that there is a faithful God. Now, we're about to celebrate a promise kept. That's what Christmas is, really, the fulfillment of God's promise to be and to stay with us and to restore us to our innocence. What can bring light into darkness of this world is a new people which makes the call of John the Baptist so important: repentance. It means changing our lives, because changed people bring a changed world. St. Paul speaks of that change so clearly today in that second reading. He brings it down to simple reality. Treat each other in the same friendly way that Christ treated you. It's easy to be critical and quick to judge and be intolerant of the faults in others. But if we did what Paul proposes, we could make this world, or at least the corner of this world where we live, a more hopeful place. Friends, it's our mission and our responsibility to keep hope alive and to set an example. When all is said and done, this world can never fulfill our fondest hopes. It isn't what this world is for. Only God can fulfill all our hopes. Meanwhile, we live in a place called hope that enables us to keep one foot in this world as it is, and the other foot in the world as it should be.